No. Crash northbound 465 at East 71st Street on the right shoulder between I-69 and the main line of 465. Again, the right shoulder is blocked. Traffic stop and go back to I-70. Northbound 37 stop and go from Epler Avenue to 465 because of construction. And northbound 65 out of the north split slow up to West Street. Greenwood southbound 65 stop and go County Line Road down to Main Street. Traffic sponsored by Mr. Quick Home Services. Springs here, so it's the perfect time to get your HVAC in top shape with Mr. Quick's $49 preseason tune-up. Get ahead of the heat and enjoy comfort all summer. Visit MrQuickHomeServices.com and get your tune-up today. I'm Matt Bear with Traffic on the Fives. Follow us at WIBC Traffic.
Scatting the traffic.
Yeah.
Matty Boy Bear.
We call him Matt Bear with the scat traffic.
93 ask you a question, Tara Hastings, Wish TV meteorologist. You ever have a moment where nothing's working?
Oh, yeah. All the time.
You just got to wing it.
Yep. So, I love that. Was great. I appreciated
He sang his own intro music.
Poorly.
I know. It was fantastic.
Could you sing a little Matt Bear intro music for us? Just a little something that we can have in case things go bad. He could just play it off his phone.
Do 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 do.
It's perfect.
Can we please get that? Can we get that isolated, please? We're gonna need that right away.
Ringtone.
Right. Right. What are you kidding? Ring doorbell. Forget ringtone. Tara Hastings, Wish TV. This is why radio is better than TV. You can't do this on TV.
That's correct.
And we still get paid. This is unbelievable.
That's awesome. I love it.
Whole thing is nuts. And pants optional.
Oh. Oh, yeah, because you're working from home, right?
Well, I am. But Matt Bear, totally pants optional. Matt could be wearing shorts right now. I don't know what he's wearing. He could be wearing a kilt for all I know.
Oh, that's beautiful. Love
it. He works out. He has, I believe what the ladies say, are fine gams.
Oh.
Right. I'm bringing back the word gams single-handedly, Tara Hastings.
Gams.
Gams.
I don't really know of that one. That's a
gams, legs. Gams. G-A-M-S. You've never heard that?
I don't think I have. No. That's a new one.
No.
Yeah. I don't know.
That a lady's got fine gams?
No, I don't think I've ever heard of that. I'll have to do some research on it.
Well, just so you know, when you're doing research, understand it's very sexist. So, outrageously sexist. Like, you want to search for that on Phil Sanchez's computer. You don't want to do that on your own. You know.
Thank you for the tip. I appreciate it.
No problem. No problem. So there it is. I'm just trying to teach you the words on the street.
I appreciate that. Got to stay hip. Hip and happening here.
That's what they say. They say, Tony Katz, that is the hep cat. That's what they say. Now let's do some weather.
Partly cloudy skies today. We will see a few storms possible. I think the window is pretty short. Between about 10, 11 o'clock this morning into about 2 o'clock or so. It's going to be a bit breezy here. We could see winds gusting 30, 35 miles per hour with highs near 76. Partly cloudy tonight, 52. Much of Thursday going to be dry. It's late Thursday evening into the first part of the overnight hours. Could see some showers and thunderstorms. Some of those could be on the stronger side. Highs near 76. And then cooler on Friday, 61. And this weekend, highs in the 50s with some sunshine.
That is Tara Hastings right there of Wish TV. Anytime you want to get into radio, just remember, not here, because I'm not losing my job. That's all. Just you go somewhere else. You.
All right. I'll keep that in mind.
Tara Hastings right there. 63 degrees in the American Standard Cooling Weather Center. The time is 7:09. Suzanne Crouch has got the most money on hand. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Gubernatorial candidates have spent $20 million in the first quarter of 2024. That's a fair amount of money. Crouch, at the end of March, had more than $3 million on hand and no debts. Braun had $946,000. Chambers, $761,000. Doden, $250,000. Now, they can always put more money into their account. They all have the cash. Crouch with $3 million on hand. That is a nice amount of money to get into this final push. Also, you've got Shreve running in the 6th District, who had run for mayor of Indianapolis. He gave his campaign a $4.5 million loan. Mike Speedy running in that race, who loaned his campaign $1.3 million. And then you've got Spartz and Goodrich in the 5th. Goodrich put $1.6 million into his campaign. Spartz raised $357,000, the reporting here from the Indianapolis Business Journal. And all of that said, may I say, first things first, I'm closed to interviews. A lot of people have been asking, hey, we'd like to talk about this, we'd like to talk about that. No. Nah, I'm done. I decided this year to get involved in the primaries and talk to people in the primaries. Mistake. There's just too much, there's too many, and you can't give everybody all the time that they need. But if I could, on a personal level, and someone might say unprofessional, and I'll say to you, and I'm quoting here, can I ask what the hell these candidates are doing? The things that I hear, the ads that run, the flyers that I get, can I ask, is any one of you going to put out a plan? I checked. Did you know that there are Democrats running for the Senate race? Oh, yes. There are Democrats running for the Senate race to run against Jim Banks. Have you ever checked their websites? You will go flat out of your mind. Out of your mind. With what it is they see as policy and value. So I look at these Republicans and I say, okay, show me what you got. What do you got? We're less than a month away from the primary. I'm telling you, whether it be the gubernatorial race, whether it be the 5th district or the 6th, not a one of you has broken out to say, hey, this is a vision. Hey, this is a seriousness. Now, it's not that some of you aren't trying. It's not that some of you aren't serious and decent. I met some decent people in having these conversations. But holy hell. This whole race is surreal. You're going to get through a primary by seeing who could be the biggest bastard on the block? This sucks. It is a mess. And all of it was unnecessary. All of it was unnecessary. You've got 2 weeks. What is it? 3 weeks? 2 weeks? 3 weeks. To actually move a message. Why don't you do that? Why don't you spend the next 3 weeks actually moving a message? Don't look to me to move your message. I'm looking to you to move your message. What is it? Where is it? What is exciting? What is different? What is valuable? What is connective to the Hoosier experience? Where? Where is it? Because I don't see it. And it's unbelievably frustrating. And I think some of the people running are outrageously decent, good people. I have got the places I see where I'm going to be voting in terms of I like the basic person. But have I seen the breakouts? No. Have I even seen the trying for a breakouts? No. And I'm different, like you. We do this every day. What about the casual observer? What do they see? Some back and forth in ads that run? Some crazy flyer? Where's the basis? Where's the theory? Where's the philosophy? Where's a here's something tangible? Where's a smile, for the love of God? Whew! It's unbelievable. It's unreal, this primary season so far. So to all the candidates, and I would say to the Democratic candidates, but honestly, on the statewide races, best of luck. To all the candidates, if you would, get off your butts and actually campaign. Like with a smile and with a message. And if it's not reaching me, I'm curious who it's reaching. No time to waste, no time to lose. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. The popcorn moment. Let us begin. Let us waste no time. It is a story you need to hear to believe. Then grab your popcorn, because there is more. You know that Trump is on trial in New York, this hush money case, which shouldn't be a case. This is such a non-thing. There is no one of any sort of rational mind who has taken the time who thinks that there's anything here that is serious. CNN has come out to admit that the case against Trump is outrageously weak. What's the case? He paid some hush money to Stormy Daniels, but he paid it from this account and not that account. And that's a misdemeanor. But Alvin Bragg, the district attorney in Manhattan, turned it into a felony. It's nuts. From their legal analyst at CNN, paying hush money is not a crime. In fact, the hush money agreement, though seedy, is legally no different from any other contract between private parties. So Trump knowing about the Daniels payoff, and he clearly did, is merely a starting point here and insufficient to prove anything criminal. There is no there. You might personally think it's seedy, as Ellie Honig describes it, or despicable, and you may not want to, vote for the man. That's fine. That's totally fine. But there's no crime here. But cable news is covering this story like it's a royal wedding. So much so that they're breaking down, hey, let's learn about these jurors and the news outlets they listen to.
I think potentially revealing details about these seven jurors. These jurors will be on the case. So far, we know four males, three females. Let's take a quick look at what we have for juror number one. Juror number one will be the foreperson. No magic powers associated with the foreperson. That's the person who generally communicates on behalf of the jury with the judge and tends to lead the deliberations in the room. What jumped out at me, there's nothing remarkable in the bio, but this is a person who said he watches both Fox News and MSNBC. That's an interesting combination. If I'm Trump and I got anyone who watches any Fox News, I want a chance that person's going to go on the jury. But I have to note this. In New York, I pick juries in New York. People sometimes confuse Fox News with the local Fox 5. And the jury form does not separate those two. So it could be that he was actually talking about the local news, which is really not partisan.
This is what CNN is covering. NBC, they brought this up too. Here's the background of six of the jurors. They read the New York Times and they watch Fox News and MSNBC. Here she gets her news from CNN, the New York Times, Google, and Facebook. Gets her news from the New York Times, Wall Street Journal, and Google. And once you start seeing New York Times, gets her news from Google and TikTok. Listens to podcasts on relationships and pop culture. Oh, if you're still getting your news from the New York Times, what solely, like, what shot do you have? What, somebody listening to Fox and MSNBC actually does want to maybe cover the gamut a little, you know, the gamut. They want to get an idea of what's happening. But this is This is where they're dedicating their time. This. To a trial that shouldn't even be happening. Precious. Also, really ugly. Precious and really, really ugly. I was going to make a joke and then decided not to. Ask me later. Ask me later. I'll tell you. I'll tell you privately. This no confidence vote against the IU president, Pam Whitten. Not only her, but the provost and the vice provost. But I am curious to know from insiders in the IU world, was this really about the funding for Kinsey? Or is this really about, well, is this about the Jew haters running the asylum? I'm curious. I could be wrong. I want an answer. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. It was a no confidence vote against the IU president. You had 948 faculty members attending the meeting. This is faculty members who engage this vote. The number of eligible faculty members was over 3,200. And 93.1% of them voted no confidence in the president, in Pam Whitten. That doesn't mean she's out of a job. The Board of Trustees makes this decision. They've put out a statement to the Board of Trustees. At our direction and with our support, President Pamela Whitten is leading at a time in higher education where the status quo is not an option. I'm not quite sure what that means. There is a full statement. Quinn Buckner, who chairs the board, has stated, "Let me be absolutely clear. President Whitten has my full support and that of every member of on the Board of Trustees. I have the privilege of working hand in hand with her, and I regularly witness her deep integrity, compassion, and commitment to IU's future. She is an extraordinary leader who is crucial to Indiana University's success and will be serving as our president for years to come." Now that's putting himself out there. But as I stated earlier, and I want to be clear to Mr. Buckner, she has not proven herself at all to be an extraordinary leader. Time could tell on that. That has not been the proof as till now. But I have looked at IU and taken a look at the what I would consider the outright bigotry they've allowed on campus, the madness they've allowed on campus, and say, well, this is a reason for a vote of no confidence. No, the vote of no confidence is about funding for the Kinsey Institute because the state of Indiana won't fund something like that anymore. And there's a feeling that IU has not been transparent enough in where that funding could come from and should this thing be shut down. Then there is the suspension of Professor Abdulkader Sinno, S-I-N-N-O. Who was suspended because he improperly reserved a room for a student group, which is a pro-Hamas group. With all due respect, can we please not pretend the wordplay here? It is what it is. And so he reserved a room he wasn't supposed to reserve for a group that may not have been entitled to have a room reserved for it and got suspended. And some people see that as weak sauce. Right? That's the story here. So when you and I may look at what's been happening on the IU campus and say, my goodness, President Whitten has not been strong enough. And we should be clear, after October 7th, her first statement was just one of those big hot word salad messes. And then she put out a stronger statement after getting kind of cajoled, which is kind of weird that you would need that. Again, I would go back to Mr. Buckner and say an example of not necessarily being a strong leader. Maybe it'll come. But I don't think you could say that now. I don't think you can call her extraordinary leader. I don't think that's acceptable. Or I don't think it's accurate. That's why it's not acceptable. But then she put out a stronger statement, but she put it out like on her, I think it was like on an Instagram feed. Like it was, you know, some post there as opposed to publicly. In terms of, you know, on the campus website, etc. Now, I've learned a little bit about Professor Abdulkader Sinno, and I've gotten access to some information. I'll be sharing that. Not necessarily the best guy in the world, but this is why the faculty decides to have a vote of no confidence. I want to know what's happening. Where is IU on this? Where are students on this? Where are other faculty members on this? Was this a much ado about nothing? Was this just a temper tantrum and it's meaningless because the Board of Trustees is going to decide? Or is the Board of Trustees looking at this and saying, we've got an unhappy group of faculty? And does this mean maybe you got to start replacing some faculty? I want to know what the result is here. Because IU does look like a mess. It looks completely in disarray, and it has for a while. I'm curious as to, does this now come to a head? Does this now make things better? Where do we go? Well, I actually have the sound effect for this. Wow, it's not every day I have the sound effect for this, but I've got it.
Where do we go from here?
Look at me.
Where do we go from here? The battle's done, and we kind of won, so we sound our victory cheer. Where do we go from here?
I don't get to use Buffy the Vampire Slayer every day. That's well done. So, IU, where do we go from here? Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. I thought it was interesting that people are sharing this clip from Bill Maher about crossing the Rubicon. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. What's crossing the Rubicon? Well, chanting death to America on American soil. And I guess the question, appreciate when people get to the place. Because sometimes we are late to the party. You know, don't be angry that someone's late. Just be thankful they showed up. But I do ask out loud, what exactly did people think was happening? What exactly did people think was happening for the last days, weeks, months, years? Was there a belief from Bill Maher that somehow the college set wasn't anti-American? That we haven't raised this group, we haven't educated this group, we haven't allowed the indoctrination and the destruction of this group, and this has permeated up to not only where is it just, you know, millennials or Gen Z, it is absolutely within Gen X and baby boomers, etc. That the chanting in Dearborn of death to America isn't isolated. That's the lie. The mayor has denounced it. Governor Whitmer denounced it. And it's going to happen tomorrow. Denouncements are good, but it doesn't change reality. You are surprised. You are shocked. We've crossed the Rubicon, chanting death to America in America. How can this be? How can this be? Look at what has been allowed. Look at what gets taught. You understand that the homeschoolers are correct, right, Bill? I'm not mad at Bill Maher. Years ago, many, many years ago, I was doing work with an outfit called PJTV. It was one of the first real attempts at video streaming of this kind of content, of political content, cultural content. And I don't think I was very good at my gig. And I was talking about Bill Maher, and I was just yelling like a fool. Unnecessarily. I would apologize to Bill Maher if I ever met him, because it didn't make any sense. What was I doing? I wasn't starting a conversation. I was, look at me, I could be angry. I don't even remember the subject then, but I am truly bothered by this idea of crossing the Rubicon. How did you not know this? How did you not notice this? It's like when Bill Ackman, who is a major donor, the hedge fund guy, major donor to Harvard, is like, I've had enough. And look at the Harvard and look at the bigotry. You've been giving to Harvard for years. You didn't notice the bigotry. I don't know how that's possible. Maybe, I'm glad that you're not giving now, but how could you have done it then? So allow me to get past that and get to the next spot. Okay, how do you want to change it? How do you want to fix it? Because people chanting death to America are very hard to fix. And some of them, even if they said, okay, we'll stop, won't stop. I will get into this on Tony Katz today at noon.